What I want to talk to you about today, I want to talk to you about warfare in the midst of Thanksgiving. Because I tell you what, I am engaged. I stood there, James, I stood there in Ben's meeting yesterday, and I hated evil for everything that evil had done. For everything that it had robbed. It had robbed you, of course, and then it had robbed those little boys. And I stood then with the family this morning, I think at about 5:30 this morning. I stood with a mama and a daddy that had a son that had cancer, 18 years old. And they said, and they was not a part of this church, but they stood there and they said, I don't understand it. And I knew, I had heard that their hearts had been hardened against the Lord. And said, they said, I don't understand that my son right there now, 18 years old, he's in such pain that he's in the hospital from the cancer that he's fighting. He said, I don't understand. And I just had the wonderful, and I knew then why God had me in that particular place, that particular moment this morning, is to help them understand. You got a good God, but you got a bad devil. And the Bible says that the devil is the prince and the power of the air. He's also the god of this world. You got to understand, he is the god of this world. And he is doing everything he can to bring havoc. The Bible said Jesus said you can tell him, because the devil come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So anything that has those three ingredients or involved around those three ingredients is the devil. It's not God. And I was so wonderfully, I just so thankful, and I was able to share with that precious couple that did not understand who it was that was fighting their precious son, and they did not want to be found fighting against God. But I was able to say, you're not fighting against God. It's God in you fighting against the enemy that's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. And we have to be honest as we stood there with James' son, Ben, yesterday. And I love Ben. Ben was highly involved. Ben was engaged in church already, but where I fell in love with Ben at, Ben helped me. Helped us, when I say me, what I mean, but he was like assigned personally to me, but he helped us and to rebuild the school when the storm hit it. Man, God just sent that little kid over there, and then if I was going to go 10 steps to get something, he already beat me to it and already had it up, and he just took so good care of me. James, I just appreciate your love that was in Ben that came out toward me. And we had to just admit, and when I look at my sister Charlotte, there's have to understand that they may have lost a battle, but I'm going to tell you what, we win the war. Can you say amen? A lot of us have been engaged in some battles that we did not understand, and many of us have lost. I've lost many battles, but I'm determined. I'm not going to stay down. Is anybody here determined in that same way? You're determined. You're not going to stay down. We're going to win the war for the glory of God. Amen. In fact, the word of God has already told and promised us who wins this war. Amen. Somebody said, I read the last page in the book and I found out we win. We win. And so it's just a powerful, powerful promise that we have in God's word. And until then, we got to grow and learn. We're still, Jesus' intention was that we would grow on. That's why he said, greater works shall ye do. It was Jesus' intention that the church of Jesus would take where he left off and continue. But ever since Jesus left us, we've been trying to get back to just what Jesus was and to do what Jesus did. And so what's in the process of us, then we're in the process of growing. And in this process of growing, it's just like a child that's growing. So sometimes he can take two steps, and sometimes he may fall that third. And there's some battles we win, there's some battles we lost, but we're not going to quit with the loss. Can you say amen? We will continue till we learn, until we grow, until we come to the place to where that we can live the life that Jesus told us we were supposed to live. I'm not going to change the gospel. I'm not going to change the book. Because if my experience doesn't equal with the book, I'm not going to change the book. I'm going to say that my experience must learn to change because the book is true. Can you say amen? So we're going to learn to do that. I just want to mention to you some scriptures this morning. Hey, at least we got some signs coming up. Great. All right, in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, there's a powerful, well, really down in verse 18, is so powerful, but I want to read a few verses prior and after. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, "And everything give thanks." Man, that is such a command. Here it doesn't say far, it says in. It means in the processes, in what I'm going through, in what I'm dealing with. If I'm going to deal with it right, God's going to powerfully help me to learn to give praise in the hardest of situations, in the hardest of times. And a lot of times a lot of people are so soulish in their relationship with God to where that they think you have to feel praise. I tell you what, if you're going to wait to feel praise, you're going to be a long time waiting. You're going to have to learn to whatever you're going through, what in that situation, God is asking us to begin to offer praise. But this is just not a lay me down, go to sleep scripture. This is a powerful scripture that's telling us how to deal with the life that we're living. That young couple this morning, when I talked with them about their 18-year-old son laying in that hospital rack from pain of the cancer he was facing, I just had to tell them, man, life is complicated and the devil is bad, but Jesus is good. And in the process, there are certain things that we know from God that must be activated. And like I said, we're a learner. Everybody say, I'm a learner. I'm a disciple. God is bringing me to the place. And disciples don't understand all things, see. Like Peter did not understand that when he stood before Jesus and tried to tell Jesus not to go to Calvary. To Peter, that was a good thing. But to Jesus, he knew that was the devil lying and trying to talk through Peter. So disciples, as a disciple, there's some things we got right. There's some things we got wrong. But there's a lot of things that Jesus is straightening out in our life. Can you say amen? And what we have found easy is we find out God is helping us through the grace and the strength of God to bring about change in our life. So the Bible said, I want you to skip back to verse 16. It even begins prior with that. But this is the way God's telling us to deal with the things we're going through. It says, rejoice always. It says to rejoice. There must be a joy. How do you know that you're believing God? Because the believing of God releases two things in our life. It releases a peace and releases a joy. The Bible says the peace and joy through believing. If you're believing God in your situation, then in your situation, there is a peace. And the wonderful thing about it, man, you can be in the hardest of storms. You can be right in the midst of all hell breaking loose against you. And you can be standing like a rock of Gibraltar. You can stand with a peace in your heart and a confidence. In fact, the Word of God tells us in those moments where our flesh is wanting to fear, in those moments, David said, trust God. What do I do in those moments when everything in me is telling me to be afraid? If I begin to listen to my flesh, then I will find great difficulty, great discouragement, great depression. But if I will refuse to listen to my flesh and choose to listen to my Savior, amen. God, the Bible said in those moments where fear is trying to seize us, in those moments, trust God. All right, the Bible says rejoice always. Next verse says, this is just small little verses. They're telling us how to handle life. And then it says pray without ceasing. But some people say, how do you pray without ceasing? I believe what this is speaking of, it's not, see, prayer is more than words that you're saying. God's communication far exceeds words. In fact, God understands heart belief. What communicates to God all the time out of our life is our heart that believes and trusts. The way I believe that I personally practice pray without ceasing is in the morning, I set myself the way I'm going to believe. And then whatever's happening during that day, I refuse to change what I believe. I refuse to continue to trust God. And I believe as I do that, there is a constant, continual communication that comes out of my heart that's telling God, I'm still believing, God. I'm still believing. Whatever I'm facing, whatever I'm going through, whatever I'm feeling, I'm still believing. Can you say amen? And so in the midst of that, there God wants a peace and a joy release. And I want us to just quickly stop for a quick minute. Because I believe there's some of us as believers this morning that we're gathered here. And we may not have that peace. I mean, you may be in a storm that's driving you crazy, maybe keeping you up at night. It may be worrying you, fretting you. The way you know that you're believing God is there will be a peace and a joy that begins to be released out of your life. Jerry, who's that sitting next to you there? Trinity, I couldn't even see you there, darling. Welcome home. Love you so much. Yeah. There is a peace and a joy. So whatever you're going through, you got to get out of the mother grubs. You got to pick yourself up by the bootstrap if you need to. And you've got to begin to release joy. And that's hard to do. But through the grace of God, there is no excuse. There is no excuse. God's grace is to give us power to do everything God tells us to do. Grace is a power. If you're in the midst of a battle and you're refusing to allow God to bring you into a peace, and if you're refusing to allow God to bring you into a joy, you're refusing. That's the Bible calls it frustrating the grace of God. Frustrating the grace of God means you have put a block up. You're not allowing God. You're not allowing God to flow the strength into your life that will help you walk obedient to the Lord. What God's asking us to do is have a deep peace in the midst of our storm. And God's asking us to express joy. The world can't fake it. You understand what I'm telling you? The world can't fake what these attributes are that are able to flow out of a believer's life in the midst of great storms. If you need the peace and the joy of the Lord, I want to simply stop and ask. I want to just simply ask the Lord. I want to ask God. I want to say, Lord, I am a candidate for your peace in the midst of my storm. If you're here this morning, you need the peace or the joy of the Lord, I want you to just take a little hand. I want you to just raise it up toward the heaven. I say, Lord, in Jesus' name, what I'm walking through and what I'm facing, Lord, I need your peace. I need your joy. And Lord, I also know that these are things that are activated through my faith. So Lord, right now, by faith, I activate your grace in my life, Lord. And Lord, I receive your peace, and I allow your peace. The Bible says, let peace rule in your hearts. I choose, Lord. Lord, I could let a lot of things rule in my heart. I could let frustration rule in my heart. I could let worry rule in my heart. But this morning, Lord, I choose to allow peace to rule in my heart. Now, precious Holy Spirit, bring a flow of joy. Bring a flow of joy. Help me, Holy Spirit, to simply laugh at what the devil is trying to do in my life. Cause a joy and a rejoicing to flood out of me for the glory of God. Then the next command of that scripture says, in everything, give thanks. If I'm going to defeat the devil, I must learn how to have joy. According to verse 16, I must learn how to have joy in the midst of difficulty. I must learn how to pray without ceasing, set my faith and have a continual faith and believe the Lord. Then I must learn to, in everything, to give thanks. I must learn that in whatever I'm going through, that is comes a wonderful opportunity to praise God. For it says, for this is the will of God. It is the will of God. It is the will of God that in your difficulty that you praise him. That is the will of God. And there's not a one of us here that cannot do that will of God. Because praise is a declaration of our faith, and it's not a feeling that we feel. It becomes a declaration of faith. There's not one of us that in the midst of our difficulty, whatever we're going through, that we can, because the Bible said this is the will of God. Then it tells the verse 19, it says, don't stop the Holy Spirit flowing. And what it simply says here is that if I will not give praise, I'm going to stop the Holy Spirit from flowing in my life. I will dam up the river of life. Because praise in the midst of hard situations is what allows the Holy Spirit to flow into that situation and to bring the change and the miracle God wants to do. And then it says, do not despise prophecies. Do not. What God's trying to tell us here is accept the spiritual, accept the supernatural. I've watched some people walk through difficulties. They almost take the supernatural and just throw it out the door. They will not allow the supernatural to be a part of their battle. Honey, unless you allow the supernatural to be a part of your battle, what most of us would give us great, great victory is go in our bedroom, shut the door, and ask God to prophesy through us over our circumstance. And which we would just boldly begin to open up that word and begin to declare that word out our mouth over what we're going through. It would bring radical change in our situation, but bring radical change in us. And then verse 21 says, test all things, hold fast. And if we're going to win this thing, we've got to be able to hold fast. Now I want to drop down to you real quick to Habakkuk. And I've told you before that Habakkuk is probably my favorite verses in all the Bible. Because this tells me the exact same thing that 1 Thessalonians. Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 17 says, though the fig tree does not blossom, or whatever is happening in your life, and there's no fruit on the vines, though things are going terrible in your life, though the product of the olive fail, there seems to be no provision in your life, and your fields are yielding no food. There's no nurturing. What's happening in your life, there's no nourishment. There's nothing into you that you can find that really is bringing happiness in your life. Though the flock is cut off from the fold, though there seems to be no increase, you've lost your steam in the midst of the battle. And there is no cattle in your stalls. The next verse is the secret to the miracle release of God in all of our lives. The next verse says, yet. Somebody say yet with me. Won't everybody just say yet? Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exalt in the God of my salvation. And then the next verse is so good because it tells us how we do this. You can't do this unless you have the next verse, because the next verse tells you what qualifies you to be able to praise God when nothing is going right. The next verse tells us, it said, because, why? The Lord God's my strength. So when somebody walks up to you and they say, how are you praising God with what you're going through? You're able to tell them, this is not me. This is God in me. This is God's strength. It's God's power that's in me. The reason I can praise God when things are going horrible in my life is because the God in me is not discouraged. The God in me is not depressed. The God in me is not boxed up into a corner and not knowing which way to move. I have confidence because it's the strength of God in me. Amen. And then it said, he's my personal bravery. How can you walk through this? Because God is your personal bravery. The grace of God delivers all of these attributes into our life. If we will, by faith, trust God to walk through this circumstance. Amen. He's my invincible army. He makes my feet like hinds feet. I just love this. I love the expression of a deer moving into the mountainous territory. A deer's foot is made. It's completely made to handle heights. It's completely made to hold its footing. I'm going to tell you what. You have been made with spiritual feet. Some of you may have been standing on your own physical feet, but God made you with spiritual feet. God has given you the ability to keep climbing higher no matter what the situation looks like that you're going through. God has given to you spiritual feet that will dig its way into the mountain until it finally reaches the top so that God will get the glory from what you're going through for the glory of God. Now, this is a powerful promise here. If I allow God to be my strength, If I will allow God to be my courage, if I will allow God to be the invincible armor, or the one that promises victory, then there it becomes easy. Let me ask you this. I'll share this with you. I put it in a form of declaration instead of a form of question. It's much easier to have trust in God and not lose hope than it is to lose hope and give up. It's much easier. Because when you refuse to give up, and when you choose to have hope, there is a grace, a flow of God's power that begins to flow in you and through you. Praise God. Now let me close. I got 4 minutes, so let me close with this verse. I'm going to skip all the way down. God give us precious promises all through the Word. In the next service, I'm probably going to be dealing with some other examples. David had this example. David took men that were in debt, discouraged, given up on life. David took them into a cave. He immersed with 30 of the greatest fighting men the world had ever known, of men that turned their discouragement around, that turned their indebtedness around, that turned their situation around. They had no power in that cave, but David was a praiser. Do you understand what I'm telling you? David placed into those men the heart of trust, the heart of God being your courage, the God in you being your strength. And because David did that, he emerged with the greatest fighting army the world had ever known. Men that had one day been the weaklings of the group. Men that had one day had been the most discouraged of the group. Praise can do that in your life. In the book of 2 Chronicles, one of the most classic examples, when Jehoshaphat, chapter 20. Don't you love 2 Chronicles, chapter 20? Jehoshaphat woke up one morning. I don't know about you, but the devil has a way of making whatever you're facing appear out of nowhere. Jehoshaphat, it happened to him just like that. He woke up one morning, and seemingly his whole world had ended. His beloved city, those he loved and cared for, was surrounded by an enemy that was unconquerable. They were so outnumbered, they was counted as the sand of the sea. There was no way out. But Jehoshaphat did so wonderfully. I love the courage. Instead of getting up and telling everybody that it was over, the Bible says he put his eyes on the Lord. I love that verse. He put his eyes on the Lord. And as he put his eyes on the Lord, he found that God had another thing in mind. Heaven's view makes a difference in all of our situations. Whatever we're viewing eyeball to eyeball, but heaven's view has a way of changing all of our situation. What do you think about that, Jesus? What do you think about that, Lord? I've asked the Lord that several times in just the last many days. Lord, I know what I'm thinking about that, but I don't want to think what I'm thinking about that. I want to think what you're thinking about that. I said it before, but we can't afford to have thoughts in us that's not in the thoughts of God. If we have thoughts in us that are not in the thoughts of God, then those thoughts are originating in a place that will have undesirable results. So you can say, Lord, what do you think about it? And when Jehoshaphat looked up at God and said, Lord, what are you thinking about that? Put his eyes on the Lord. What do you think about this, Jesus? What do you think about this, Father? What do you think about what I'm going through? What do you think about this enemy that's come against me? What do you think about that all my loved ones and those I love, my cherished city, by all natural things will be gone. But when he looked and found the mind of the Lord had something else totally in mind. In fact, out of them, out of when Jehoshaphat looked at the Lord, I can just see piercing out of God's great eyes. There was a tremendous other insight that God was going to work a miracle and that Jehoshaphat could trust God's glory. Do you trust God's glory? Do you trust God to come in your scene and make a manifested presence of his power known and to change things from what they are to what he has promised? Do you trust God that way? When Jehoshaphat made a conscious decision, he was going to trust God. Think about making conscious decisions to trust God. God usually asks us to do an action that's going to prove whether we trust him or not. And so he did. He asked Jehoshaphat to go out against the enemy, but to not fight. That's where we get that classic scripture that says the battle's the Lord's. You won't have to fight Jehoshaphat, but you will face the enemy, but you won't have to fight. And so Jehoshaphat took his trained warriors and backed them in line and then put out front. He said, now I want all of those that's going to help me praise through this thing. Do you know who your friends are in the midst of your battle? Those that's going to help you praise through that battle. You get away from those discouragers. You get away from those that's going to tell you about what happened to them. And they're weighing their experience greater than what God's word says. Your experience will never change God's word. You got to understand that you can never change what you believe by your experience. Your experience will never change God's word. Amen. So Jehoshaphat called for those that would believe. It was his praisers and singers, the Bible said, and they came and they led the army out. Standing against the enemy, standing against odds, there was no way naturally that they would ever win. If God's glory did not come on the scene, it was going to be a massive failure. All would be lost. But they choose to trust God. They chose to believe that God's glory will come and God's glory will manifest in my situation. And the Bible says, I love that particular verse of it. It's found down there in verse 22 of chapter 20. I love that one verse. That one verse shines throughout all the Bible to me. It says, at the very moment that they began to sing and to give praise, the Lord caused the enemy army to be defeated. Everybody say, at the very moment. At the very moment. And so what praise becomes your execution of faith. To praise God at your darkest moment, it becomes an execute. It becomes a step of your faith. You say, Lord, you told me to step out on this water. Well, stepping out on this water does not seem that anything will hold me up. But I'm going to step out here. I'm going to step out. I'm going to praise you in the midst of this anyway. Because I trust you. So I trust you. Lord, we thank you for your goodness this morning. Lord, thank you for your preciousness. The Lord told me several days ago that this morning there would be, some of you would be able to identify, there's been a cloud that has tried to overshadow you to keep you from moving into a thankfulness and a real praise over your situation. It's been a cloud of discouragement for some. It's been a cloud of lies for others. It's been a cloud, but it's a deceiving cloud. It's not letting you see light. It's holding you down under it. It's causing you to see darkness. And you can't see a way. You can't see that you would ever be happy again. You can't see that it would ever, this thing could ever come. There's no way of fixing it. And in that cloud, God told me and spoke to my heart over this service. God said that today that he would send power to break that cloud. If you would allow the Holy Spirit, if we would come into agreement God would send power because it's a demonic cloud. Somebody say it's a demonic cloud. There's a demonic cloud that's trying to hold back the promises of God. It's trying to hold back the praise. It's trying to hold back the joy. It's trying to hold back from you the very thing that's going to release God into your situation. If that resonates with you in any way, I want you to simply stand with you. If you feel like, Jerry, there's been a cloud of that, I want to deeply pray with you. We're going to be doing it differently in the main service, but I feel like this is the only way we can do it in this service. Now, you got to want that cloud to glow, go. Some people like keeping snakes. Snakes become your pets. Not so. Never let a demon become your pet. Never let a demon become a way of life to you. Never let it. Lord, in the name of Jesus, as these are standing right here this morning, Lord, I've come, Lord, to pray with them. Lord, in obedience to your word that spoke to my heart earlier in the week, and it said that you were willing today to help them to break that cloud off of their life in Jesus' name. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, we do warfare against that cloud. Lord, and just the same as you send a strong wind at times to disperse a cloud, Lord, I believe right now through the power of the Holy Spirit, in and over the lives of these that's joined together in agreement and prayer with me, Lord, this morning, and with us that are their leaders that love them and care about them. We're joining in with them, Lord, to believe God for the dispersing of that cloud, that the wind of God would so come. That the wind of God would so come and would blow that darkness, that would blow that cloud, that would remove that cloud of darkness. So the light of God can begin to show through again. So praise can arise again. So thankfulness can arise again. So joy can arise again, Lord. Lord, that has tried to hinder heaven's view. We break it, we sever it, Lord, because you said that you had given us power and authority over all of the power of the enemy. And the power of the enemy, Lord, has been sent to hinder. But Lord, in Jesus' name, using your authority, Lord, we break that cloud. We sever it. 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 We sever it in Jesus' name. Gary, I don't know your capabilities. Let's close that last little song as we go out this morning. Tell Lee over there if you would. It's the last song. Now I want you to do something with me. I believe, according to God's word to me, that there became a breaking over that cloud. Some of you will see immediate release. Some of you, lights and rays will begin to shine through that will give you promises just like the cloud of the size of a man's hand of promise in the Bible. Some of you will begin to see rays of hope. But when you do that, when it begins in you, when you can see that cloud breaking, I want you to text me. I want you to tell me who you are, and I want you to tell me what you're experiencing. And that moment, I'm going to begin to do warfare for you again. That the Lord, that what the rays have begun, that God will not stop that process of miracle in you until that cloud is completely gone. So you take the same texting number that we use, 818-4440. You use that as a outlet of your faith. It was important for them to believe that the cloud the size of a man's hand could bring enough rain that would defeat the drought. God first showed them the cloud the size of a man's hand. That means so to activate their faith for the rest. And when you see that rays breaking through that darkness, I want you to text me at that moment. And I'm going to begin to release my faith with you. That God's not stopping this until that cloud is completely broken. And the rays and the light of God begin to shine through, and hope will again begin to shine through for the glory of God. In Jesus' name.